The 22nd head coach at Michigan Tech, Joe Schott.
8.5 remaining. They are up by 2 on an empty net goal, and the Huskies are going crazy on the Michigan Tech bench right now. Bring it in front, out, and score! Right in between the hash marks. Huskies win it back. Misiak in front. Here's a score!
Go Huskies.
This is the Joe Schott Hour on the home of the Huskies, Mix 93 WKMJ. Brought to you by Pisani Company Distributing, Edward Jones Financial Advisor John Nelson in Houghton, the Turvo Agency in Hancock, Coca-Cola of Hancock, the Michigan Tech Campus Bookstore and University Images, Bucko's Party Store in Calumet,
Upward Orthodontics of Houghton,
and Peterlin Distributing of Calumet. Now with the head coach of the Michigan Tech Hockey Huskies, Joe Schott, here is your host, Dirk Hembroff.
All right, thank you very much. And, yeah, here we go. The Joe Schott Hour on Mix 93 WKMJ coming off that 4-4 tie against Northern Michigan in exhibition play Saturday night in front of a raucous crowd at the John Vigetis Student Ice Arena. And, you know, we talked a lot about it after the game, Coach. I know you did with the media after as well. But what a great crowd it was. It was fun hockey.
Yeah, it was fun. It was fun to get back into having the crowd there. There were some misfits that came back as well to make sure that the new core, after not having really misfits for 2 years, the new group is getting on track and getting acclimated. The pep band was outstanding. The crowd was outstanding in the game, the entire game. So it was a lot of fun. I enjoyed the game.
I would imagine even the Northern fans at the game would have had an absolute blast. Just the whole atmosphere and as you mentioned, the volume and everything going on. And a lot of goals being scored. And maybe as a coaching staff, you don't want to see that, especially against us. But, you know, we want to see goals for us. But there were a lot of goals scored, so it kept everybody kind of engaged the whole game, I think.
Yeah, we came back from two down, which was good. By the time the people really got settled in of the game, we were being outshot 7-1, and we were down 2-0 before we even had a chance to get through all of our line combinations and everything. So it was good. I thought our people did a good job with the northern section. I noticed they were way up in the left corner, way up there in the nosebleed section, so I think that went well as well.
So as you put together the lines, I know there were a couple of lines that you wanted to keep together throughout the game. It was tough for us in the context of everything going on to really see how consistent the line combinations were out there. How consistent were they? Were you mixing and matching quite a bit between the lines?
Yeah, we mixed a lot. We mixed wanted to take looks at different combinations, different people playing with different people. What I really wanted to see out of that game, I want to see, first of all, the players that took a step. You know, we know what some players can do, and some players that we know what they can do didn't do very well. That would be less of a concern than players who we really are looking forward to taking a step and performing and seeing how they acclimate and how they play in with their growth. Where's their growth at? Are they developing? Are they getting better? We did see that, and I also wanted to see in a big way the transfer players that we had coming in and see how they performed. And, you know, you see one thing in practice from a lot of guys, you really want to see what they can do in the game. I would like to, you know, we had a number of guys out. I would like to have seen absolutely what Alex Nordstrom could do. He's a freshman. I would like to have seen what Levi Stauber could do. Jed Piella was practicing extremely well. As I mentioned, I think last week I was using him on some video clips and things like that. I wanted to see what he could do if he took a step, as a left-handed defenseman, which we need in our lineup. And so there were some things I would like to have seen. Certainly would like to have seen Mark Sinclair play a period as well to see, because I think he's come with a determined attitude as well in goal. So, but for the most part, I liked the steps we've taken, which we're asking some guys to do things a little bit differently from the way they've done it in the past. We're trying to get them to buy in and try to see some rewards from that. We did see that with some players as well. So, now others, there wasn't tremendous growth. There's more reaction than really anticipation in some of their games. There's a little bit of a hitch to their game still. So, and that was good to see as well.
So when you're talking about changing the game a little bit for a certain player, is it usually from an offensive mind to more of a being more responsible inside of your own zone type of thing? The whole Scotty Bowman coming to Detroit and changing the mindset of, Steve Yzerman. Is that what you're looking for with some of those players?
It's more in you know, like the old thing that I say, it's learning to fish. It's more in not having to be told what to do, but being able to read what to do, to be able to, you know, read and react, to create and eliminate time and space. It's much more the intricacies of the game. And part of that is offensively and part of that is defensively. And with some players, it's both because they don't have a real creative mind in either way, or a real ability to react and change and interchange and play within a group structure. And that's more of what I'm kind of getting at. You know, some people it's individual. It's getting in more. It's competing more. It's getting your nose in there. It's coming in above the puck. It's staying on the inside of your D cover. Some are as simple as that. And that's easy to do because, you know, some guys, the more they get in there, the more, you know, we like what they do with the puck on their stick, but the puck's not on their stick very much. And they look really good in some drills in practice when we're not really getting after it. But when we're getting after it, they kind of disappear. We want those guys who can make an impact on the game to develop the traits to make an impact on the game. So, you know, there's a whole lot of different things we're looking at.
One of the guys from last year that, you know, obviously struggled mightily to score, but we played well at times last year, Parker Saretsky. He was with Brian Hallin in a lot. We saw what Brian Hallin did. We can talk about him in just a little bit. But you touched on Parker Saretsky a little bit during the post game on Saturday night. What were your thoughts on him on Saturday?
I liked him a lot. Yeah. I liked him. I thought, Chris and I were talking about it this morning, and, a couple scenarios where he has a chance to do some things and to create situations that give us an advantage. He puts us in a situation where it gives us a little disadvantage, or maybe not a disadvantage, but takes away the chances we have. But overall, I very much liked his energy level. I liked his line play. He is, like I say, maybe the smartest player. He's certainly in the top three of hockey intelligence. His energy level's good. Still needs to put on some size and strength, which will help him a great deal. It'll give him a little bit more of a step, which will probably solve part of what I just said about being able to create a little bit more that he's capable of, because he does see it, and he does have good instincts. It just kind of closes up a little bit too quickly for him.
So explain to people, and I understand the whole, we hear that term a lot now, especially hockey intelligence. And if he's one of the smartest on the team, is it just the fact that his skill set is not allowing him to finish on plays on that? Or what is it that's keeping him, you know, if it's all up in his brain, why he's not able to follow through?
Yeah, I think he will. But the second part is, I think a lot of it is due to size and strength. Mm-hmm. He comes in with a great package. And, I know a coach that I had, Frank Anzalone, used to say quite often, and I know that Jeff Jackson bought into it, there's only so much. There is a limit to what you can do with an athlete, I guess in everything, but as far as teaching them the game, if they don't have an innate ability, you know, some people make pianos, some people play them, you know, and that's just the way it is. You can't, you know, maybe Mozart made pianos, but, you know, he certainly could play them, whether he could make them or not. And others can't. And he has the ability to play a big game. But what you can do, to finish my thought, what the athlete can do is develop into being a better athlete. They can develop their strength. They can develop their quickness. People do it all the time. Swimmers, sprinters, I mean, they get faster. Mm-hmm. They develop the muscle core and the technique to get faster and get stronger. They get better. And that's the one thing that you certainly can do throughout your entire career as an athlete, is you can do that. And when he gets stronger, I mean, he has a hard time right now putting on weight. But when he can do that and really commits to that part of his lifestyle, into, you know, protein shakes and everything else in the weight room, and living it and trying to get the absolute most out that he can out of his body. When he does that, you'll see that he will do more offensively. And right now he limits himself a little bit because of his inability so far to do that. But I think he's got a different determination, a different work ethic right now than he's had in the past. And, you know, part of that is those guys, we've said it, haven't been able to be here for a track A at all until this year. Going into his third year, he finally gets a track A because of, the opening of our ability to train them in the track A portion of our summer. So that paid dividends for him for sure, and we need more of that.
6:31 into the first period, we're down 2-0, as you mentioned, Coach. And after the game, you said, maybe we thought we were a little bit better than we were, or something like that. What do you mean by that? In that we were on our we were a little bit lackluster in those first 5-6 minutes.
Well, I think there could be two things. Number one, I keep telling the guys that we have everything we need to contend for a national tournament position. And I think we do. I believe we do. I think this is the closest, maybe even back to our first year, although our defensive core was certainly better our first year, my first year as a head coach with Mitch Reinke and Dane Burks, they really, and Mark Ott. So that area was way more complete than our defensive core is right now. But we do have what we have. So I think I've been telling the guys, hey, listen, it's on us. There's been a little lackadaisical side to, especially some of our drivers, some of the guys that really need to drive what we do every day. So I think it's part of that. And I think maybe the other part again is on me is that I talked to the guys about this being an exhibition game, and I was doing it for evaluation. I was going to run the bench that way. So, make sure that, you're not taking yourself out of the game mentally because you think you're reading too much into what we're doing in this game. So maybe they came out not looking that way. And then there came a point we're down 2-0. We got punched a couple times in the mouth and came back. And I'm saying that rhetorically. And then we finally decided, hey, we want to play. Let's play. And then there was a little bit of a period getting our game together. And then I thought in the second half of the game, we were actually pretty good. We limited Northern in a lot of ways. And I thought we could generate some good offense.
I know you guys, Grant had an idea on what you wanted as far as power plays going in. You were hoping for it. Were there more penalties than you were hoping to be called in that game, or was it right around where you were hoping?
No, it was absolutely more, way more 4-on-4 than we wanted in the game. Yeah. I think Grant would attest to that. I think the referees, I think they got a little bit too involved in a game that wasn't a chippy game in any way. But that is what it is. We went in wanting to really see the intellect and things of our athletes and wanted them to have to go through as much adversity as they could. And 4-on-4 just, you're putting different players on there. 4-on-4 just changes the game. It's a different game. Mm-hmm. So you don't really get the look as to what you really want to have happen. I know when I was reviewing the game yesterday, I was just skipping through the majority of the 4-on-4.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, because I wanted.
There was a lot of it, though.
And there was a lot, but I just wanted to see, other than scoring chances and things, I wanted to see the understanding level of our players and the compete level of our players.
Well, we have a lot more to talk about, and questions are coming in for you, Coach. We'll get to those a little bit later on in the hour. If you have a question for Coach Sean, and you're listening here on Monday morning, on a Monday evening, if you're listening on Monday evening, you're listening to a recording, but Monday morning here, we are... We will ask you a question, so all you got to do is get it in as soon as you can. DJ@themix93.com. A lot more to talk about here on the Joe Sean Hour here on Mix 93 WKMJ, and we will do that when we return here on Mix 93.
Well, good news travels fast when it comes to Upward Orthodontics.
Well, it's been interesting. My wife and I, we do our best to have a lunch or two during the week, so we're out, and people are saying, I heard your spiel on the radio about sitting up straight. It's been kind of wild to hear the folks, and we've had a great time with our aligner cases. We have control over it here, and so we say, first tray, next day. And so the next day, they got an aligner on their teeth, and those things are moving.
Dr. Darren Ward at Upward Orthodontics in the Razorback Center, Houghton, because now's your time to smile.
This is Sarah. Leave a message.
Hey, Sarah, I wanted to catch you before you left. Don't come to our house for the party. There's been a change in plans. We got into some twisted tea, hard iced teas, and one thing led to another. And now we're at the billionaire's house, baby. Yes, the one with the airstrip. Look, the password at the gate is lobster. You gotta get here. Whoa, that's a llama.
Twisted tea. Keep it twisted! Please drink responsibly.
Whether our Huskies are on the turf, the ice, or the hardwood, show your Michigan Tech home team pride by sporting Husky apparel from University Images, the campus store, or online at bookstore.mtu.edu. If souvenirs are your game, we've got you covered there too. We're sure you'll find exactly what you're looking for when you visit us in person or online. Check our campus store and University Images social media feeds for our latest store news, promotions, and operating hours. Your support goes directly back to the local and campus communities. And always, we thank you for your patronage.
Of the defender for the Northern Michigan Wildcats, Vecchio got a great defensive play that time, but the Wildcats come down. Here's the chance, a shot, and they score! Nice feed back to the Wildcats coming in late. Morella breaks the scoreless tie. Gontus now with a nice move, feeds it over, a shot, and a score! Oh, that was a pretty play by the Wildcats. As the Huskies had a chance to bring it up, did not clear. And the Wildcats made them pay for it. And now the Huskies will take it back again across. Helenin with some good speed. Helenin drives to the net, makes a play. Oh, Cook is right there and a save. They score! Oh, the Huskies kept batting at it and batting at it. And they were able to make it happen. And the Huskies pull within one on a power play goal. 3-on-2 for Michigan Tech across the line. Looking for a drop pass. Not able to get it. Now they do. Turetsky walking in from the side. Lost control. Got a shot out there. Score! Yes, it snuck in. It snuck in. And that's, I think, Parker Turetsky. I think he's going to get credit for the goal. We'll see. And the Huskies tie it up with just 12.7 seconds remaining. And check that. It looks like it is going to be Logan Ganey. Wildcats able to hold it in. Kiefer now sends it over to the far side. And Cosgrove scores from the left side. Able to bury it past Pianello, I think, was screened in front of the play. And I actually looked down for a second to see exactly what that was. But Cosgrove swinging around to the left side there and shot through some traffic. Wildcats step it down now. Quick pass to the front. Here's a chance. And that's a big save made by Pianello. Huskies will bring it back down. Now the Huskies pick it up inside of their own zone and bring it up the right wing. Kadyrov will skate across the middle, hands it off to Helenin. Helenin cuts across the middle. Helenin to his forehand, got it down, and a goal! Oh, it's Kadyrov, I think, who tapped it home. But what a play by Ryan Helenin across the line. We have a 3-3 hockey game. Huskies have tied this game up. We're tied 3-3. Bronte with it. Looks to shoot, passes it, a shot, score!
And, of course, Northern went on to get another goal, tied it up 4-4, and those are some of the highlights from Saturday night's broadcast from the John McGinnis Student Ice Arena. 4-4 over, just a 4-4 final between the Huskies and the Wildcats in exhibition play, and everybody had a smile on their face at that game on Saturday night. It was a lot of fun to watch, Coach. Good pace to the game, too. I don't know if we talked a whole lot about it. Maybe we did a little bit. Your thoughts on the conditioning of our team on Saturday night?
I think we got stronger as the game went on, so that's what you're hoping for. I don't think we're anywhere near where we need to be as far as our game legs, especially certain individuals aren't anywhere where they need to be. And others, there's a couple that are battling to get in the lineup that played pretty well on Saturday night's game. Part of why they played well and what was able to help them is that we had a couple extra forwards dressed that we were able to spell them and kind of control their minutes. So the minutes they had were all quality. So we're looking to get those same quality minutes out of them and get more minutes out of them. So, but it has to get better. But I think Tyler's done a good job with them and gotten them in shape.
So this week, as far as practice goes, what are the differences from this week of practice on what you concentrate on compared to last week of practice? Different, more detailed with special teams maybe, or
much
the same?
Yeah, we'll run. We'll have more time to do it for sure. We'll have some more time to be able to do those types of things, but we'll kind of stay the course on where we're at you're trying to find ways to quickly reference practice or drills into the game, you say a play, hey, listen, this is that drill. That's all that is that drill, or this is that drill. So we try to make our drills, we try to vary them enough to to prevent boredom and make the guys think so they don't just get, okay, I'm doing this drill, I do it all the time. We try to give them enough of that, but we also want enough similarity so they're seeing the same type of looks that they'll see in the game over and over and over and over. So That'll be our focus again this week. We'll just have a little bit more time to get into some details, such as face-off coverages and 6-on-5, 5-on-6, things like that.
We covered them on our post-game on Saturday night, but can you dive into Brian Hallinan and the way he played Saturday night and what you're hoping from him differently in his senior year here?
Well, he's a player that for 3 years, and he's one of a couple, for 3 years they've been pretty consistent in what they do. They're 10, 12, 13 goal guys and, right around 20 point guys, 20, 21 point guys. And you want to see a little bit of growth. So what could Brian do for that growth? And we've been talking to him, consistently, as you know, and working with him and doing drills with him and doing video with him on these things that he could do better. And you get to a point with many individuals is, have they reached their capability in this part of the game? In this part of the game, have they reached their capability? Brian has really worked on it, especially in this off season and in his attention and focus on certain aspects in practice, and you saw it in the game. And Brian's always a goal first, assist guy second type of a guy. He'll get, 10 goals, 11 goals and 6-7 assists. And I think he's capable of getting 14, 15 goals and getting 14 or 15 assists. And that's a big difference.
Yeah.
You're going from like 18 points to going to 28 or 30 points. And now you're getting up in like the, Blake Pietilov one, back. We're getting in those types of numbers from those guys that, those are impact players now making a big difference in a hockey game. And I feel he has that ability to do that. And we saw that growth. He had 3 assists the other night. The most he's ever had in college in one game by far. And they were legit. He made good plays on all of them. They weren't, his assists before often came from him taking a shot and a guy getting a rebound and going in. These were legitimate plays where he made a really good play, created time and space, used his size and strength. He also had those types of plays where he brought the puck, the one goal that we got in the power play, he just brought it right to the net. And then we had 2 whacks at it. First, Suretsky went by and whacked at it. And then Bronte went by and whacked at it. And the third whack went in. 3 scoring chances, one primary and then 2 rebound scoring chances in one sequence of plays in hard ice. That we like to see that.
So you talk about Brian's size and strength. Well, we've always known since the first day he walked onto campus. Has he gotten faster at all, or is it just the way he's using his speed?
Yeah, I think he certainly has
he
improved.
He just seemed faster.
Yeah,
he's
improved as an athlete, and he's got a focus, and he seems to be enthusiastic about what he's doing. But that so often happens when you're near the end. You all of a sudden certain things might mean a little more. That's natural. Like I've said many times, my uncle used to say that when his kids were in high school, he was the dumbest man alive, and it's amazing how smart he got once they graduated. There comes a time when, what do they say, the wheels have to hit the pavement or whatever that is. There comes a time when, the end is near in certain ways, and you have to survive or, now he certainly built up his body to be able to play hockey moving forward. What he has to do is impact the game. In both ends of the ice, impact the game, and that's what he's working on doing. And he's intelligent enough to want to do that. To change habits is really hard. I don't know if you can put a clock on what it takes to actually change a habit. I know repetition. All we can do is offer repetition, but there has to be something within your mind that's willing to change what you've always done, and that's what he's trying to do. And I think the more positive feedback he gets from doing that, the more that'll lock in and he'll want to do those types of things more and more.
And he continues to be that kind of player that draws so much attention because he has the ability to have the puck on his stick and kind of, I don't want to say drag guys with him, but he does have that ability. And then that usually leaves somebody else on that line open, which makes other people better, right?
Yeah. If we could get Brian to the point where he is as hard on the puck as Joel Esperance was, that will make Brian a player offensively. That'll make him a player because things will open up. I remember there was not a lot of dissimilarities between the two. I remember meeting with Joel one time and we sat down and we watched all his shifts. And I said, okay, now what I want you to do is I want you to mark down every time you make a pass, every time you make a pass, mark it down. He went through an entire hockey game without making a pass. An entire hockey game.
Oh, wow.
So he hung onto the puck, and when he got to realize, okay, I get it, Joe. I didn't like to see it. You know, you're an idiot for doing it. I don't like it, but we're going to – but that changed. That changed his game. Now, all of a sudden, you saw his last year, he exploded. He is, you know – maybe not in the points that he might have wanted to get. He let out some scoring. He could have had 50. It wasn't because he was like our team last year. It wasn't because he didn't get chances. It's because they didn't go in, you know, and other people didn't put him in. That's what we want. I'd like Brian to be as strong on the puck, because I remember freshman year we'd have, you know, Cliff Watson and, you know, Matty Roy. Man, he's strong. You know, they just couldn't get the puck. And I remember, where he first brought that, I thought, to college was at Ferris at the GLI that year, where he got at least one goal, maybe a goal and assist, maybe two goals, but he controlled much of the game when he was on the ice because the other team couldn't get the puck. Once he learned to use other players as well, you know, he's now a National Hockey League player.
It's the Joe Schott Hour here on Mix 93 WKMJ. Get your question in if you're listening on Monday morning. And it's DJ at themix93.com. We have some good questions coming in. Coach, I guess really quick, can we talk a little bit about the other games that went on Saturday and Sunday? Certainly not a bad weekend for the new CCHA. You look at what Minnesota State did against UMass, I mean, and to come back yesterday, being down 3-0, I mean, that's a big stamp for the CCHA, I thought, over the weekend.
Yeah, tremendous. 5 goals in the third period, and that's the character, the culture of that team. And I'm extremely proud of what Mankato did. Ferris got a win yesterday against Miami, an NCHC opponent, which is very big for our league, an overtime win, regulation overtime, shorthanded goal. And Lake State got a split. They played a hard UNO team and were able to get a late goal like they do at times, and got a late goal to send it to overtime, and then got a goal in overtime to on a really good individual effort to win that one. So I don't know overall what I know. The Bemidji lost a really close game, low shot totals, low offense, but a 2-1 game at North Dakota. So they competed well, and I do believe that's probably all of our non-conference action that we had.
Well, St. Thomas lost to
to St. Cloud.
To St. Cloud.
They lost twice to St. Cloud. But the last game, 2-0. Now, I don't know how St. Cloud played that game and things, but the last game was 2-0, so good for Rico, and that's a good positive for them coming out of last weekend's action. They got handled pretty well in the first game, and then, you know, kind of started to figure things out in the second game.
Yeah, and as you mentioned, 4-3 final there for Lake State over Omaha in that overtime game a couple of nights ago. So, yeah, it was just a pretty good weekend overall to start things off. And you know, give credit to St. Thomas, too. I mean, taking it on the chin 12-2 against, you know, one of the top teams in the nation that first night, and coming back and make it a more respectable score anyway, and still trying to find the offense a little bit there. But, no, really good. And then Wisconsin Badgers yesterday, falling to the UND Bulldogs in exhibition play by a score of 4-2. Of course, we have no stats or really any box score or anything on that. Read up a little bit on the Duluth website on that. Hard to really even take anything out of that as far as planning for our weekend against them coming up, is it, Coach?
Yeah, we'll watch that as it goes. And, you know, we talk about the team having to grow. I'm going to have to grow as a coach as well. You come out early that first game of the year, you're not, you know, I don't coach very well either, you know, so I, you know, you totally understand some players not having their best performance. I found myself a lot watching our guys, evaluating our guys, and not really looking for any adjustments and things like that. So we all will be better on a Friday. That's something that, I mean, you're never as good on your first game as you are on your 10th game as a coach, and we're hoping that our players grow and get better each game as well, and we look forward to the test this weekend in a hard environment.
Yeah, it will be a hard environment. We'll talk more about that coming up a little bit later on, and maybe we'll even get to some of your questions in the next segment here as we move along with the Joe Schott Hour here on Mix 93 WKMJ. We'll be right back.
Introducing Budweiser Zero. 0% alcohol, 0 grams of sugar, full Budweiser flavor. For all the moments you want a beer and need to stay on your game. Working like I'm buzzing, man, I'm bugging for the
honey. Budweiser Zero. Zero alcohol. Zero compromise.
This is Bob Franti of the Turvo Agency in Hancock. If something were to happen to you today, would your family be left with a financial burden to cover your debts and final expenses? Would they be able to maintain their same lifestyle without you? No matter your age and situation, there is an auto owner's life insurance policy to meet your unique needs, and an auto owner's life policy is likely more affordable than you think. Stop in at the Turvo Agency in Hancock and see how a life insurance policy from auto owners can provide the protection your family needs and deserves. Think life.
One size fits all? That may be all right for an adjustable belt or cheap sunglasses, but when it comes to your financial needs, no one wants a one size fits all strategy. Hi, I'm John Nelson, your Houghton Edward Jones Financial Advisor. Our most important goals are yours. That's why we take the time to understand your needs so we can recommend personalized strategies with your goals in mind. Contact us today, 482-8680. Knowing you, that's how Edward Jones makes sense of investing. Member SIPC.
Mix 93 WKMJ, the Huskies getting set to take on the Wisconsin Badgers, the 11th ranked Wisconsin Badgers. We'll see where they're ranked here in a couple of hours when the new poll comes out. But they certainly will be in the, you would imagine in the top 15 for sure. Maybe they'll even move up, even though they lost to in an exhibition game to Scott Sandlin and the Bulldogs of UMD yesterday by a score of 4-2. Really hard to put any real realism on what that game means at all, because I think both teams were given other players, much like you and Grant did, Coach, during the exhibition on Saturday night, some opportunities to kind of play for a spot in the lineup. So we'll see what happens that. We'll talk more about the Wisconsin game coming up in just a little bit. But I thought we are getting some questions coming in, Coach, so we might as well ask some of those. And again, there's more questions that can come in, so we'll go ahead and email them, DJ@themix93.com. First question for you, Coach, is when Tyler Shalas moved up to an assistant coach, did we hire a new strength and conditioning coach?
Well, we didn't hire one for hockey. I don't want to lose that dynamic. That was part of the discussion that I had with Tyler. There's multiple values in that. First of all, he's very good at that aspect of, and he adds a lot to our program in that aspect. In just the conditioning side. The other side of it is, you know, Tyler has some strong real world experiences that benefit the players, and they have a real comfort level in talking to him, communicating with him, venting to him, pleading with him, being mentored by him. So he has that element for us as well that I absolutely don't want to lose that component. That'll drift away naturally over time as he gets older, and you know, as an age gap becomes more and more, it's just a natural occurrence. But right now, they still look at him, I think, in a lot of ways as being one of them. Mm. In a us versus them category as him. I mean, I don't know if the freshmen do, but I don't know if the other guys really look at him differently than they looked at him in the past. So I don't want to lose that dynamic.
So they will tell him things that they're not going to tell you and Chris,
yeah, and he's,
possibly.
And he's selective, as is Chris, on how they handle that, what needs to be brought forth. And I appreciate that. I like that dynamic because you know, none of us want to sway the other coach's opinion. Everybody should be evaluated and things and not judged separately. They should be evaluated based on that individual eye and whatever method that each coach uses to evaluate so that they can defend and support and or fight for why another player should have an opportunity. So, I want to have the autonomy. I want to have the trust within the group that they don't think that a coach is coming and ratting to me all the time and it's impacting their game. They need to know that there's support there.
All right, next question for you, Coach. Has the home series with Michigan that was supposed to be last year, right, been rescheduled in the future? And if not, why not?
It has not. And there's probably a couple reasons. I haven't pursued it. I can say that for sure. And you know, we made some concessions on that game to try to get that game in for our 100-year celebration. Concessions that I'm not all in favor of. Sometimes you may have to do those things, but, and I don't think anybody here is in the fact that they want 2-for-1 at the very minimum, which means they want us to go down there and play 4 games for them to come here and play 2 games. Our people want to, they want to and deserve to see other opponents as well. And there are teams that, that want to pad their budget a bit with going and, let's say, get $20,000 to go in and play Michigan twice. They can count that in on their budget. It would ever cost them $10,000 to go play them if you're a Ferris State, or $5,000 or less than that to go play them with hotels and meals and stuff. But we don't want to do that. I want to get people up here, like Notre Dame coming up here. And if you keep trading these 2-for-1s, you're losing home dates all the time. And I want our people to see other teams play, and that's really a goal that we have.
All right, next question for Coach. Let's see here. Levi Stauber, Jake Crespi, Logan Pietola, Justin Misiak, Alex Nordstrom, Eric Goetz, Jed Pietola, Mark Sinclair. Many of those we've already talked about who are not in the lineup on Saturday night. This question is, are we likely to see some of the players that were not in the lineup when we go down to Wisconsin?
Yeah, we're likely to. You know, some of those players in a lot of ways have proven what they can do, and they give us a dynamic of speed and experience and things of that nature. Some of them would have been in the mold of some of the players I spoke on earlier, that we weren't really looking for them to prove themselves, because we know to a degree what they're capable of. Some of them aren't at that point. But we'll look to do that. You know, we have some injuries in that. We have some illness in that. So as they come back and can get on the ice and full, we're not bringing anybody that isn't 100% and fully cleared to play. So once they get on the ice, we'll evaluate where they're at, because what has to be also understood is being out right now for 10, 12, 14 days, you know, 21 days, they've missed whatever limited time we've had to be able with them, to be with them, to coach and mm-hmm. and do things with them. They've completely missed that. So there'll be an adjustment on them getting up to speed on changes we've made within our game, and there'll be them getting back up to speed on their conditioning level and things like that. So we'll gauge it how they go in practice as they come back.
And that's really the most difficult thing, is getting that conditioning level, that game conditioning level back up if you've been out for a while.
Well, at this time of the year, it's also, just as much as I said, of putting into your game the things that we've been really trying to instill, the changes we're trying to make to do different things that we saw some results on. You know, we need to score more goals, and we saw some results on that. We had some hard ice goals.
Yes, we did. Exactly.
We had some really hard ice goals that, last year we had a lot of scoring chances. We generated a lot. We had a great 4-versus-against differential in scoring chances. But they didn't equate to goals. And, you know, just the other night we had a couple goals that just bounced off of people mm-hmm. that were at the net and battling for position and things. And, you know, we'll take every one of those we can get. And that those doing that more regularly, is that a word, regularly? Regularly?
Works for me.
Yeah. So doing that more, getting more of that I think we'll still get what we got last year, and we want to get the other type as well, the hard goals.
Very sharp contrast to the goals Saturday night. Northern's goals were mostly sniper type mm-hmm. goals. We were, as you mentioned, they were manufactured.
Yeah. And as we're Northern's, they put their team together for that type of game. You know, they're smaller in a lot of ways and quicker maybe in overall team speed and things like that. When push comes to shove, we're hoping that, you know, they caught us a lot in turnover transition. And I want to compliment our guys. Our turnovers were much lower than they've been in the past at any time. Like our turnovers were very low, actually, with a couple of players being high. So overall our team total was pretty good. And we still want to get better at that. But off of those turnovers, a couple of them ended up in goals against, and, you know, a couple others ended up in a couple of the scoring chances, although we didn't give up a ton of them in the scoring chances they got. So, we still have to keep working on that.
And one of the goals that I'm thinking of right now, is something that seemed to happen to us a lot last year, where we had that opportunity to you know, go high off the glass or get it out, and we didn't.
The second goal against?
I think that was it.
Yeah, we turned it over at the top of the circle, and then a whole bunch of guys started chasing the puck. Northern's able to make, put a pass together, two passes, which they did, and they found a guy walking in on goal and beat Blake from inside the top of the circle.
All right, next question for Coach. Coach, the Big Ten has some stringent COVID testing guidelines and requirements. Will that affect the team heading down to Wisconsin?
I don't know. I don't know. We've been in contact with Clarkson about that, you know, with concerns with New York State, and they've kind of rested us easy with regards to that and how they'll handle it if anything were to happen crazily. But you don't know place to place what's going to happen. And I would think they just played Bowling Green. I don't know what the requirements are between Bowling Green and last weekend. Bowling Green played Michigan in an exhibition game. Yeah. I mean, Michigan beat them up pretty good, 7-1. You know, that team's going to be fun to watch. I mean, they returned 91% of their goals from last year, and those guys are young and NHL draft picks. So Mel's got it going down there for this year. But we'll see. I didn't hear anything out of Bowling Green where there were any restrictions or limitations.
Next question we have for you, Coach. This listener says, I like how over the recent years we've been better at not getting retaliation penalties. What sort of conversations are you going on to continue this smart approach?
Oh, it's just the overall discipline that you want to have with your team. You want to have, you know, your team, and that starts with me. You know, I have to continue to work all the time on keeping self-control, and our players need to learn to have self-control, and that's what we all work on. You know, I certainly have a little bit of a fuse at times, and it's my job not to go into that red zone, you know, to have some sort of a mechanism where I can get into that yellow zone, that caution zone, and say, okay, back off. We've never gotten a bench minor. We've never done things like that, but I've certainly pushed it at times. And that self-control is something that needs to start from the top. We have to live it, and we expect the players to, and they do a better job at it, actually, than I do.
Well, how about the captains, though? You talk about how Tyler Shalash and that relationship he has with the players can be a big benefit. Is it also when it comes to making sure that the team has the mindset of, you know, we're not getting that stupid penalty today, guys? Does that fall at all on the leaders on the team?
As far as getting through to the younger guys, because the leaders are the ones that drive the culture. You know, I say it all the time that the meeting when I walk out of that room, or when these guys are together in small groups or large groups, that's really what's going on with the team, and those guys control that. So if they have issues with what we're doing as a staff, they need to come address that with us so that we can correct it, so we can all be on the same page, so they can drive the same message going through the locker room. But that discipline, that self-control in those areas is the same self-control we're asking them to do with turnovers, with turnovers and different aspects of with systematic play and tactical play. So their whole being, existence on the ice is discipline. So I think it's probably in some ways, I know for me it was way easier for me to control myself as even an assistant coach, because you know that's not my place. My place is sit and be seen and not heard and offer anything I can offer to help. We all get too egotistical and get a little bit too full of ourselves and have to pull ourselves back, I think, it's easier for the players. And it's easier, I think, for the assistant coaches. And those guys keep themselves in check, and they do a great job at it.
One other question that just came in, Coach. Parker Saretsky seems to be playing well, and hearing from what Coach is talking about, seems to be ready for this season. Is it impressive for a guy that struggled to score goals throughout an entire season to come in with a good attitude and the right approach?
Enthusiasm's always number one. You know, if you don't like coming to the rink, if you don't like the game, if you don't like the environment, then you shouldn't be here. You find something else. There's lots that you can do to find passion, and you know, be realistic with yourself. Is it hockey, or is it you, or do you want it easier? Like, what's really the issue that you're not happy? Be realistic with yourself. And then is this really your passion? Or what are you playing for? Are you playing to get better? Are you playing to be the best you can be? Or are you playing because you want people to know that you're a Division I hockey player and you've always played and you like the attention you get and you like walking around campus and around town with people noticing you and you feel better when you're playing because people notice you more? Like, what's your passion?
Yeah.
And if your passion isn't the love of the game, the love of being at the rink, the love of the competition, the love of every part of it, find something else. You know, find what you are passionate about. I've been in this game a long time. A lot of it in volunteer capacities. You know, a lot of it, you know, thankful to my wife and my family for allowing that. But the mentoring, the main mentoring and growth I got from initially from Frank Angelo and from Jeff and things were all in volunteer capacity and the inclusion they allowed me to be and the access they allowed me to watch them coach an elite program for years after years after years and to talk and have conversations. Excuse me. It was my passion. And I was able to, with God's grace, pursue that. You know, things just kind of fell in place. It wasn't my end at all cost. I did it because I just wanted to fix the hockey. I loved it. I just wanted to fix. So I worked an outside job and continued on with Lake Superior in different ways. So, you got to be passionate about it, and you're looking for guys to be passionate.
You look at the crowd and the excitement that we had on Saturday night, and you and I certainly don't take anything for granted as far as our fans and our culture here at Michigan Tech, and it's nice to see somebody from the outside really appreciate it. I loved what we heard from Tyrone Bronte after the game. He was talking to the media. This is what Cal had posted on the Michigan Tech Huskies website, talking about the atmosphere at that exhibition game.
Well, to be honest, I didn't know what it was like, so it's hard to say. Like, but I will say it's an immense. You know, everyone was sitting on the bench, we got goosebumps. Like, it was that you can feel the energy from everyone, so it's unbelievable. It makes playing better, more fun. Sometimes you know, a bench can be flat, but it's hard to be flat when you got a crowd going crazy behind you. So.
It even sounds better in that Australian accent, too. But it really kind of puts things into perspective on how good we have it here.
Yeah, and you look at the energy, and you talk about enthusiasm and the I don't even know the word, the exuberance that he brings to the rink every day. He loves to be on the ice. He loves it. And Mosley loves to be on the ice. And Misiak loves to be on the ice. You know, those guys, what they bring. And now we have at least three of those guys that every day, you know, I think the highlight of their day is being with us and being part of our lives. So that's what you're looking for. It was outstanding. I do want to make sure that I note that, it's come to my attention, at least it was brought to me, how much the crowd enjoyed from a few people I talked to, including my wife, but how much they enjoyed the referees being mic'd.
Yeah.
They really enjoyed the referees. They thought that added, and it was an exhibition game, so we weren't talking too much to the refs anyways, but hopefully it'll keep referees away from benches. They can just communicate like they do to the whole crowd.
Yeah, it was exciting, and some new wrinkles still being put into everything that's going on there at the John McGinnis Student Ice Rink throughout the CCHA. All right, we'll take a time out, be back with more. We'll dive deeper into the series coming up against number 11 Wisconsin Badgers, NCAA tournament team last year, and they have a lot of firepower. And it's going to be a lot of fun. So we'll talk about that more of the Joe Schott Hour right after these.
Save your bucks at Bucko's year-round. All six packs of bottled beer are on sale. Pepsi 2 liters are only 2 for $3. Pepsi 12 packs, cans, are 2 for $10. Powerades are only 4 for $5. Plus a store full of great snacks in every aisle, including Skinny Pete's Bakery products. For the outdoorsman, Bucko's has all the bait you need. And ORV and DNR licenses. All sales do not include taxes and deposits. At Bucko's Party Store in Calumet, where the party starts, is open 7 days a week.
Coke Energy has the energy you want. Energy like... and tastes like... So when you feel... but need to feel... Yeehaw! There's Coke Energy. It's got the taste you absolutely... With B vitamins and caffeine, it's an energy drink that'll leave you sane. Boom! Coke Energy. The energy you want, the taste you love.
Welcome back to the Joe Schott Hour here on Mix 93 WKMJ, and 11 minutes before our ending here. If you are listening to this on Monday morning, you can also hear it back on Monday evening on our sister station, WMPL, 920 AM and 107.3 FM. 3 years, Coach. That's the last how long it's been for Michigan Tech and the Wisconsin Badgers to match up. A couple of relatively high-scoring games down there, 6-2, 6-2, I think, were the final. We were able to take it to them on Friday night. They came back and beat us on Saturday night. But, you know, this is one of those storied programs in all of college hockey, and it's always fun to go to one of the premier college towns in the United States.
And you know, an old WCHA rival, mm-hmm. and people who love coming here, and you know, really classy coaching staff too, with Tony Granato and Osiki, with their whole staff. They're really a classy staff. They do a great job there. I'm looking forward to the competition that we'll be in, and they are coming back up here to play in 2 years. So we'll continue to do that with teams. Again, I don't know when the last time Wisconsin was in this rink. They haven't been here since I've been here. So
it must have been right before you joined the staff then, because we
so they came here after the reformation.
Correct. Yeah, and we actually swept them Friday and Saturday night. I would have to go back and see what year that was, but 2018 was the year we went down there, as we're talking about. What do you remember about that series, Coach?
I remember just what you said. We came out. Bliss was very good. He was a player that was originally committed to Wisconsin, ended up coming to us. He was very good in the game, and I think he'll be very good again in the game. So I thought we played well the first night, and then the second night, really a big difference was that I thought their defense did an outstanding mm-hmm. job. And then Weisbach and those guys were they had those young guys, Caulfield and Weisbach and all them, that were just, was there a Doogie on that team too?
I think so.
They had just a lot of firepower, and we had a really young team. And they were able to get us on the second night.
You talk about Bliss playing for us when he was supposed to be originally going to be a Badger. We have our former player, Carson Bantle, will be playing with him. And he certainly has the ability to thrive now once he figures everything out, doesn't he?
He's a great player. That was a big loss for us. I think he always wanted to be at Wisconsin, and he didn't get the love from them that he originally, and then there came the time where they saw, okay, this kid can be pretty good. He's a good player. And then, I think in his heart, he wanted to get back as fast as he could. He played his junior hockey in Madison. So he's just going right back to, you know, housing families, you know, being at the game, friends and family, being at the game, all those things. So, I think that's just a deal with the new transfer portal that someone is going to go, you know, much like a Seamus Donahue, always dreamt about playing, you know, I want to play in Minnesota. I got to prove to the people in Minnesota that I can make it.
Is that something?
And then he goes to, you know, goes back to St. Cloud and was part of a very good team last year. So, that's something you can't take away. It kind of this free agency side of it, but Carson's an extremely good player. I have a ton of respect for him as a person and as a player, and he just wanted to get back home.
So what kind of series? I mean, I know we don't know a whole heck of a lot about them, Coach, because it is what it is. But what are you expecting against the Badgers as far as the competition and the style of play?
Well, they're going to get up and down the ice. You know that they're going to have a good transition game. They're going to have good defense. They're going to have good goaltending. They have their young goaltender from last year back. Robbie Badun was there last year as the other goaltender on their team, and he's gone. But they'll be good in every facet of the game. It's going to be a great test, great opportunity for us to see what we have, you know, early in the year like this. I can't say how much I'm looking forward to that. We have some great opponents in these first few weeks with mm-hmm. them, and then we have Notre Dame and we have the trip to Clarkson at the end of the month. So we have some outstanding non-conference opportunities to really see where we gauge nationally.
Yeah, and always exciting to go down to the Kohl Center, not only because it's the Kohl Center, it's Madtown and all that stuff, but they have that interesting dimensions of the rink there. I think 3 feet shy of being the proper width for an Olympic sheet. So it's not NHL, it's not Olympic sheet, and there is more ice out there. And, you know, our team, as you mentioned, has a lot of speed, and we have been playing well on big sheets in the last couple of years.
Yeah, we acclimate pretty well with the way that we play to being able to utilize the big sheets. So again, I'm looking forward to the games. It's a fun game. It's a fun place to play. I imagine they'll have people have been waiting there to go to hockey for a long time. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you go there. Last I went there, it wasn't the biggest crowd, but I have played there where it's been jam packed at both the old Dane County and this new, the Kohl Center. So, you know, they can get upwards of 10,000 plus and that's entertaining as well in two ways, trying to quiet them and then, trying to handle yourself when it gets a little hectic.
So how difficult, well, you know, this is a question I ask you maybe too often, but I'm looking at this weekend. You know, we had guys out. Some of them might be available again this week. And now we're talking actual, regulation games, real games here. And you have to pick a roster or pick a lineup to travel. And will this be one of the toughest ones that you've had? I mean, as far as, you know, who comes and who makes it and who doesn't.
Yeah, and probably a little bit tougher because of some players we haven't gotten a chance to really see yet.
Right.
So a little bit tougher in that regards. But we do know a lot of our roster, and we do see some guys that can fit in. You know, we'll have some questions on D. We have to talk about our D a little bit with Goats being out and things like that. We'll have to really give that some thought and some good evaluation and see where that's at, what we're going to do there. I'd like to bring a few extra guys to be able to play between a Friday and Saturday night, maybe change it up for the Saturday night if we need to give us a different dynamic if we feel that that's important.
Well, the game times are at 8:00 both Friday and Saturday night. If you're like me and we're looking at the schedule and trying to find out when Wisconsin was finally going to throw some game times out there, they finally did it. I think Dave Ellis told me they have to do it by 12 days before the actual game. So they have put that out there. 8:00 starts. Has a lot to do with obviously television and where the football team is playing and when they play. But 8:00 starts. We'll be on there at 6:30 both nights here on Mix 93 WKMJ, and really looking forward to this matchup. This is always a fun trip. Always was back in the WCHA days too, but it's great that we have this relationship with a team like Wisconsin.
It is. Wisconsin, Duluth, two really good teams that are right in our, as much in our backyard as you can be, that we want to play as much as we can.
It's the Joe Schaan Hour here on Mix 93 WKMJ. We appreciate all of you listening here today. And again, if you didn't get a question in for today's show, next week you certainly can. It's DJ@themix93.com. That's DJ@themix93.com. Coach, we will see you on Thursday when the team heads out. And good luck this weekend against the Badgers.
Thanks, sir.
Head Coach Joe Schaan and the Joe Schaan Hour exclusively here on Mix 93 WKMJ.
Of the defender for the Northern Michigan Wildcats, Vecchio got a great defensive play that time. But the Wildcats come down. Here's a chance, a shot, and they score. Nice feed back to the Wildcats coming in late. Morella breaks the scoreless tie. Gontus now with a nice move, feeds it over, a shot, and a score. Oh, that was a pretty play by the Wildcats. As the Huskies had a chance to bring it up, did not clear. And the Wildcats made them pay for it. And now the Huskies will take it back again across Helenin with some good speed. Helenin drives to the net, makes a play. Oh, puck is right there and a save. They score! Oh, the Huskies kept batting at it and batting at it. And they were able to make it happen. And the Huskies pull within one on a power play goal. 3-on-2 for Michigan Tech across the line. Looking for a drop pass. Not able to get it. Now they do. Turetsky walking in from the side. Lost control. Got a shot out there. Scores! Yes, it stuck in. It stuck in. And that's, I think, Parker Turetsky. I think he's going to get credit for the goal. We'll see. And the Huskies tie it up with just 12.7 seconds remaining. And and checked, and it looks like it is going to be Logan Ganey. Wildcats able to hold it in. Keeper now sends it over to the far side, and Cosgrove scores from the left side. Able to bury it past Pietilu, who I think was screened in front of the play, and I actually looked down for a second to see exactly what that was, but Cosgrove swinging around to the left side there and shot through some traffic. Wildcats step it down now, quick pass to the front, here's a chance, and it's a big save by Pietilu! Point blank range, and the Huskies will bring it back now. Now the Huskies pick it up inside of their own zone and bring it up the right wing. Kadyrov will skate across the middle, hands it off to Hallinan. Hallinan cuts across the middle, Hallinan to his forehead, got it down, and a goal! Huskies have tied this game up. We're tied 3-3. Bronte with it. Looks to shoot. Passes it. A shot. Score!